Appliance Discounters is a locally owned company that began with one location in Webster Groves, Missouri in 2009 and has grown to six locations covering Missouri and Illinois. We always offer the lowest price on all appliances for our customers. We carry in-box and out-of-box new appliances at drastically lower prices than any competitor. We purchase our appliances direct and buy the truckload to receive the lowest price from the manufacturers and then pass the savings on to you. That's how we came up with our motto, our savings are your savings. Shop us at theappliancediscounters.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
I just picture the Troy Brower goal against the Blackhawks while I listen to Jeffrey Osborne. I don't know about everybody else. I assume everybody else is doing the same. I also picture Lana Rhodes.
Gloomy day in St. Louis.
Starmy, actually.
Starmy.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM. And InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway Buick GMC, the sponsor of our live stream as well. Did you know that Gateway Buick GMC in Hazelwood has 38 service bays to get you in, out, and back on the road? This month, enjoy a $39.95 oil change, along with a four-tire rotation, multi-point vehicle inspection for as low as $39.95. Call today to book your appointment at 314-895-1600. That's 314-895-1600. All new, redone dealership at I-270 McDonald Boulevard, Gateway Buick GMC. Online at stbuickgmc.com. It is Gateway, the right way. 314-895-1600, Gateway Buick GMC. On your Get Tinted STL Captain's Log, Matthew Barnaby going to be with us in a matter of seconds here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Brian Lawton of the NHL Network at 8:30. And Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour from San Jose. The Blues were going to spend the night out there and then come back today, win or lose. And so Chase will talk with us from California before they head on back to St. Louis to begin the offseason. Right now, it is our pleasure to welcome to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, regular throughout the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and always one of our favorite guests to talk it over with. That's Matthew Barnaby. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Disappointed, man. That's how we are in St. Louis, as you can imagine. Will you take a look back on that six-game series? What stands out to you as the reason why the Sharks are moving on and the Blues are going home?
For me, the Stars came to play for San Jose, and for the St. Louis Blues, it was a little bit too late for Tarasenko to show up into the series. Just you look at Logan Couture, you look at Joel Pavelski, who's probably now the front runner for the Conn Smythe Trophy, Joe Thornton. They were just dominant, and I just didn't think they had enough push from St. Louis Stars, especially Tarasenko. So at the end of the day, it's an old cliche, but it's so true. If your best players aren't your best players, you aren't going to win a series or especially a championship. And for San Jose, their best players were their best players.
Matthew, were you surprised at all? I was at how this series, even though it went six games, it didn't really feel that close. It felt more like a five-game series. And in three of the Sharks' wins, really, they dominated the Blues. Were you surprised at how they were able to dispatch the Blues, you know, fairly easily after a lot of people thought the Blues were the favorites to win it all entering, you know, the final four of this thing?
I had picked San Jose before the series had started just because of what I had seen from them in their previous two series against Nashville, against Los Angeles. They were able to beat two totally different teams. Their speed is absolutely incredible, and they have some very high-end players, and I do have confidence in Martin Jones. Was I surprised at times the way it did look easy, like you said? Yeah, because St. Louis is a strong team. They're a big team. They're a heavy team, and they're a well-coached team with a lot of desire in that room. I know those guys laid it all on the line. They came up short, but at times it just looks like it was men playing against boys, and the speed factor, to me, really came into play as a series, especially at some of those games in San Jose. I think if we take away game four of the series, every other game, I thought San Jose outplayed the St. Louis Blues. Game four was a domination by St. Louis, but all the other games, I thought it was all San Jose.
Yeah, especially game two, it was so evident that they were quicker, a step ahead, if you will, of the Blues. And I don't know, Matthew, whether you can talk about fatigue and playing two seven-game series, because this is big boy stuff, and you know you're playing for the chance to go to the Cup. But that's the frustrating things for a lot of Blues fans, as you can imagine, after beating the Hawks and then the Stars, to kind of not have it against the Sharks.
Well, I think Ken Hitchcock said it in his press conference, and it does take a toll on you. You like to get rest, and that's why coaches say all the time, and we say all the time, that you want to finish teams off as quick as you can instead of going a seven-game series. Now, it's easier said than done. The Dallas Stars and Chicago Blackhawks are great teams and teams that have a lot of pride, and we know Chicago has won three Cups in the last 6 years, so they're not easy to dispose of. Having said that, to go far and avoid injury, also save your energy. The quicker you can get a team out of the playoffs and get some rest, it's just better for the long run. And they weren't able to do that. They did look tired at times. Last night, again, they looked tired. I don't know if it was because of pure fatigue or sometimes taking too many silly penalties that caused your guys to log too many minutes and play on the PK instead of 5-on-5. But they did clearly look like the slower team, whether it was fatigue or just general personnel. We'll find out as they go into the offseason.
Matthew Barnaby, our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Jay Randolph Jr., and Charlie Marlowe with you here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You brought up Tarasenko briefly, Matthew. That really is something that intrigues me quite a bit as to what was going on there. Now, the final 5 minutes of the entire series, he finally got on the board. But otherwise, he was a non-factor, and it's not like that was going on in the entire postseason. He was one of the biggest threats for the Blues against the Blackhawks, and I'm just not sure what was going on there. Ken Hitchcock said he was 100% healthy. What did you see?
Well, I thought Vlasic and Braun did a great job on him, playing him close, especially in San Jose. But for most of the series, he was a no-show. And in the last 5 minutes, well, a little bit too little too late. You could see the monkey come off his back almost. He had so much excitement when he scored. And I'm sitting here going, the series is over, bud. Like, it's too late to be celebrating. We needed this in game one, game two. He just didn't look involved for some reason. And maybe I want to credit San Jose even more. The back pressure on every line throughout was incredible. They back-checked hard. Their commitment to defense, their top two guys, or at least their top defending guys, in Braun and Vlasic, did a tremendous job on him and not giving him time and space. And that's what scorers want. For me, when you struggle and when you don't have you don't have the scoring chances that you're used to, maybe in earlier series or during the regular season, I think the easy way is to cheat. And to me, it just looked like he was cheating instead of battling his way through it. And you need to battle. In the playoffs, there's not a lot of room. And we see guys that have been successful in the playoffs, it's because of the battle level. You look at Ward from San Jose, not a pretty player, but willing to do anything to lay it on the line. And the top players, the Thorntons, the Pavelskis, the Logan Coutures in this series, they battled. There wasn't always a ton of room for them either, but they found a way to get it done under the pressure and with not a lot of time and space. So to me, just the battle level from Tarasenko wasn't there when there wasn't a lot of space for him.
Matthew, you talk about the top players for the Sharks playing well, when you mentioned, you know, Marlowe and Thornton, Pavelski, guys that have been there for a long time. How much do you think, not just playoff experience, because the Blues have been to the playoffs the last 5 years, but they hadn't been this deep. And you mentioned some of the guys like Marlowe and Thornton that have been there for, seems like, you know, 17 years for Marlowe and over 10 years for Thornton. The fact that they've made deep runs before, do you think that makes a big difference. And also, I would think that would, you know, be good for the Blues moving forward the next couple of years. They've been here before now and knows what it, you know, they know what it takes to now reach the Stanley Cup final.
I think any time you get deeper, you know how much harder every round is, and it's true. The first round is, we call it, you know, just really controlled chaos because everyone's just so full of energy. Maybe not the best hockey all the time, but everyone's just a million miles an hour because they haven't played those 2- and 3-game series. The deeper you go, the harder it gets, the more you have to dig deep. So I think experience plays a role in anything in life. But whatever role you're in, the more experience you get, the better you're equipped you are for future endeavors and then getting farther. So, yeah, it does help. At the end of the day, I just thought San Jose was a quicker team. I think that's what it came down to. Their execution at times, especially on the power play, there was times I thought St. Louis's power play could have taken over the series. I thought the execution in some of the games wasn't great. I just thought that the more focused team, the faster team, was San Jose and well-deserving. But St. Louis, it almost sounds like an eulogy because I know fans are upset. At the same time, they had a tremendous year, and only 4 teams have gotten this far. They were one of 4 teams out of 30 that made it to where they are. So it's a sad day for fans, but remember all the good times because they were a very good, complete hockey team, well-coached with a lot of great guys that gave all, you know, at the end of the day, all their effort to get where they were.
Matthew Barnaby, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Bud Light, the presenting sponsor of our Stanley Cup playoff coverage here on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. A couple of questions, just to get your opinion on the future, even though understandably fans in our audience will be dwelling on what's taken place here over the last week and a half, and in particular the last 12 hours. But twofold question for you, sir. Do you expect Ken Hitchcock to be back, and do you expect David Backes to be back?
First one, Ken Hitchcock, I would be very surprised if he isn't, and I would even think that he would be on more than a 1-year deal. To me, he's done a marvelous job, and where you come out short, if he would have lost in the first round, I definitely thought he would not have been back. If he lost in the second round, maybe not been back, but losing to who I think is going to be the Stanley Cup champion, the San Jose Sharks, to me, he will be back, and I think he deserves a multi-year deal. As for Backes, it's a business. I think there's going to be a team, maybe like the Montreal Canadiens, that will overpay a guy like Backes and not in the short term. He had a tremendous playoffs. He was his battle level off the charts. We saw how good he fits into the scheme with the St. Louis Blues. The last reported contract offer I had heard, now I don't know if it's improved since when I heard it, which was a couple months ago, was 4 years at $5.8 million. That is great for the St. Louis Blues, probably right on par where he should be, but I think someone is going to end up giving him a 6-year, $6 million a year contract that equals $36 million. I think that's too rich for guys that they have to sign in the future. I think Backes, it's his time to cash in. So, in short, unless he's willing to take a pay cut and maybe a few less years, I think he'll be moving on from St. Louis.
So you're thinking it's going to be what again? 6 years, $6 million? Is that what you were saying, Matthew?
That's kind of the number I have figured out, yeah. Six years, $6 million on free agency. I think it's 5.5 on maybe a 4-year deal if he stays in St. Louis.
Matthew Barnaby, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM InsideSTL.com. Matthew, you've been so good to us throughout the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Have enjoyed your perspective. We would have liked to have another 3 weeks of it, but as you mentioned, it was an incredible run, and with time, I think we'll appreciate it even more. But we want to make sure we thank you for your time throughout the course of this because it has been great perspective, and I know our audience has enjoyed having you on the show. So thanks, man, and enjoy tonight's Game 7 and the Stanley Cup Finals. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me on. Great, great audience. You guys do a great job, and have a great summer as well, guys. We'll talk to you next year.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks. There he is, Matthew Barnaby with us here on the Appliances Kind of Phone Lines, always giving us good perspective and some short-term discussion regarding the future of the Blues with Hitchcock. Not only does he expect Hitchcock to be back, but to get a multi-year deal, and he thinks it's most likely that we have seen the last of David Backes.
And then that goes back to what you said in the first hour, Tim, that you almost get a sense after winning those first two series that this becomes a Hitchcock decision, maybe rather than the Blues deciding to go in a different direction. I think that's going to be very interesting.
I wonder too with David Backes, if the money is a big difference. Sometimes that's hard to, even if you're going to a team that's not a winner. I mean, if you're getting, let's say, $2 million more per year, yep, and an extra year, it's tough to go to your family and be like, I'm basically sliding like $12 million back across the table and saying nah. But if it's closer, maybe I'm wrong on this. I could see if it's relatively close that David Backes likes it here. He's the captain, and the fact that this team should be able to win next year. I don't know. But with free agency, we've seen it in every sport.
And gotta hockey, go with the dough.
Right. Hockey's a salary cap league, so it's different. There's always that one mystery team that comes out there and just gives a bonkers offer sometimes.
And I wonder if that's why, I'm going to go to some fun with audio here, gentlemen, the David Backes soundbite. I wonder if that's why Backes was as emotional as he was last night. And again, I don't want to portray it as he was weeping, and I have no problem with anyone expressing emotion. Backes has lost a number of times with the Blues in the playoffs. I recall the only time I saw hockey players cry when I was doing television was when they lost the Western Conference Finals in Colorado, and I was out there, and Sakic scored the overtime winner in Game 5, and that ended it. And while it was over in 5, and this one was over in 6, I would tell you, and I'm sure some of the Blues fans who can remember that series, that series actually felt closer than this series. The games were, a number of them went to overtime. 3 of the 5 actually went to overtime. None of these went to overtime. There wasn't a whole lot of sweat toward the end in these games, which was really the antithesis of the Blackhawks series. And that series, I'll look back on that thing 5-10 years from now, even though it didn't lead to a Stanley Cup final, and go, God, that was some intense effing hockey for all 7 games. The Stars series, certainly different. And the San Jose one, as Matthew Barnaby said, and I think most of us have said, the Sharks outplayed the Blues in 5 of the 6 games, and there wasn't much there in the final 4 periods the Blues played. But Backes, perhaps he was a little more emotional than normal because, A, they were as close as they were, but, B, in the back of his mind, he either thinks it may be or he knows it was the last time he wears the blue note on his sweater. Here's David Backes following last night's loss.
He'll kill me for telling you the story, but game five, I'm not feeling well. And Steve Ott brings me something to help me feel better. And knowing that he's the guy coming out of the lineup, if I can play, that's pretty selfless. And that's the kind of guys we have in here. So that just stories like that, that, you know, guys blocking shots and sacrificing their bodies, it's tough to swallow. But you know that the heart's in here and the ability's in there. We just come up short.
David Backes last night. Our audio is presented by Llewellyn's Pub. Take the Llewellyn's Pub trolley to and from Busch Stadium, right from the Soulard location. Llewellyn's Pub, with locations all over the St. Louis area, perfect for brunch. Llewellyn's, the presenting sponsor of our audio. But I wonder if that's going on in the back of his mind. I mean, he has been a building block here for years, and he may know. You know, not that he's angry with the Blues, and not that the Blues are angry with him. I mean, he had a hell of a postseason. But that may be the last time that he wears that jersey. You know, drawing an analogy to it, and also there's some present-day thought. But after the Cardinals lost the 2004 World Series, in a series that, you know,
it didn't even happen.
Yeah. I mean, God, it started Saturday night and it was over by Wednesday night. And you want to talk about not having a sweat. Holy crap. I mean, minus game one and Bellerin's home run. There was nothing there. But it was a pretty calm locker room considering they had just lost the World Series. There were not tears because it wasn't close. But Mike Matheny didn't take off his jersey saw him ever get to the point where he had, you know, put on his street clothes and gone home, because in the back of his mind, he knew that as a player anyway, and I don't think he was thinking, yeah, in 2012 I'll be managing, but as a player, that's going to be the last time he's going to wear that uniform. And I think there's a realization for guys, and Matheny knew who was right behind him. He was on the roster that year, and he took over in 2005 with Yadier Molina, and there is a realization. And when you're a certain kind of person, and I think there are some similarities with Backes and Matheny from a leadership standpoint, That means more than it may mean to other people, especially when they've spent a number of years with that team. And that team had a symbiotic relationship with that player, and that organization allowed you to become what you had become as an individual and go out on the open market and receive the kind of money Feeney received from the Giants and the kind of money Backus is likely to receive on the free agent market, whether it be from the Canadiens, as Barnaby speculated, or somebody else. And his whole logic was, it's going to be 6 years, $6 million a year, and it's just going to be too rich for the Blues blood when they know they're going to have to spend some of that money on younger players. And Backus just might not be the kind of player at this point you want to put that kind of investment into.
Yeah, and Backus deserves that money, but you can also see from the Blues' perspective, you know, they just gave Tarasenko, what, an 8-year deal, and he's, you know, was 25 when he signed the deal. I understand why a team, even though we all love David Backus and he's been a very good player, had a great postseason, you can understand why an organization wouldn't want to pay someone $6 million a year when they're 36 and 37 years old. You have to make tough financial decisions like that, even if you really want to bring him back. These organizations, they assess a value to a player as they age, and I can totally see how if another team throws an offer like that out there, how the Blues just can say, you know what, we love David Backus, but we can't do that.
Guys, would it have been different if the Blues would have played the Sharks in the first round instead of the third round? I think it's possible. It's fun with hypotheticals.
Question.
I have no problem with fun with hypotheticals.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. The Blues just weren't the same team they were against the Blackhawks and the Stars. And the caliber of hockey never...
No,
rose
right.
That occasion, but that's partially because one team was dominating the other. Guys, rumor has it what Steve Ott gave to Backus was chicken spadini from Billy G's. That's from the Wright City Lemmy. Now, I hadn't heard that.
That will make that clear. Can make you cry.
That's a rumor.
That's that good.
I want to make that clear. Hey, you know what? A month from yesterday, actually, we will have the third annual Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament, and it's presented by Bud Light. Jennings Charlie is going to be on the team with me and Doug, and we're really bullish on our club this year. We've been working out.
You got Doug. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's huge. Doug can rake, and we like where we are. You can play against us by registering on InsideSTL.com. At this point, I think, I don't know, there's less than five teams left. I just don't know how many, but I know there are at least a couple left. Go to register to InsideSTL.com. It's 11 a.m. throughout the day at Francis Park, and it's presented by Bud Light. It's the third annual Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament. The equipment's donated by Yellow Bats. It's a round-robin tournament, 32 teams, round-robin, and then the winners of each group advance to tournament play. Four players to a team. It's $150 to register and reserve your spot. And you can go do that right now. When it's sold out, it is sold out. We're also going to have a food fest, so all kinds of restaurants around the area will be having tents there. And, of course, we'll have numerous beverages for you, portions of the proceeds going to charity. It is Bud Light presenting the third annual Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament, Saturday, June 25th at Francis Park. Register on InsideSTL.com. Jennings Charlie has been rather noncommittal.
You haven't.
He's been rather noncommittal.
I just need to look at the June schedule. I know I have one wedding to go to,
and you're still in. And they're not. They haven't announced a date yet.
Event.
When's your wedding?
Not my wedding.
Oh, okay.
I just don't ever. I live my life like one day, and maybe that next weekend at a time.
That's
I don't
fair.
Know what I'm doing. 2-3 weeks.
Like, you know the St. Gabriel School picnic's 2 weeks from Saturday.
Sure, but right. That's different because that's like a huge
deal. Lock that in early.
Correct. I take that when we get our vacation days we can take at the beginning of the year. Sure. I go and I... That's
good
a,
for
that's
you. Second Saturday in June, I'm
that's
out.
Red X.
Martin, I'm out.
Yep.
Bring in Zach. I'm
that's
at
right.
the school picnic. That's where I am. Yeah, I will probably be heading to Las Vegas.
No.
Yeah, you'd be surprised to hear that.
I saw somebody wish you good luck on the fan page
yeah.
on your trip.
Yeah. It's a good long, because I can't play in the main event this year.
No.
My brother's getting married.
Nice. Congratulations.
In July, so that precludes any delusions I have of making a deep run. So I'll probably play in some of the early events and the Venetian Deep Stacks out there for a while. So Charlie, Jennings, Doug, the cat, maybe the plow shark.
Yes.
They'll be holding down the fort here once Anna Marie
and
I take off. Janie the Lesbian's coming to town, and she was really bullish on... Friday night, because of what we all know was going to happen, which would have been tribbing all over the city proper.
No question.
And I was looking forward to really being her wingman on that, or just standing behind a pillar in the bar and watching. And,
right.
You know, unfortunately, now it's going to make the task a little more difficult. And she is expressing remorse, as am I. Hey, Tim, sad day, great season, go Blues. Bomeister sucks. He should wear Doug's legs as earmuffs.
No.
From the SoCo vape. Sad to see my captain back as emotional, but did you see that baby idiot in the background holding the mic? That's from Ray King. I think, unfortunately, Ray King, Matty Mock's guy, is making a reference Dougie to Fish. Doug, who is in the background.
Doug looks like he's straining to hold the mic. Charlie, you've been in those situations where Doug's trying to get the mic closer to Backus, but as he does, he looks like he's in pain.
I think sometimes, too, and you can't see this from the shot that we see of Doug, but you're also trying to either stay out of the shot maybe of your own camera or somebody else's. So sometimes you're doing that awkward lean.
Right.
Because you don't want to be seen on camera the whole time just nodding. So maybe that was the issue.
Okay.
But Doug was featured prominently.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
NBC Sports Network shot. Yeah, it did look like either he was doing the lean, maybe he had to go to the restroom.
Or somebody was maybe playing with him. I'm not sure.
I like that. Brian Lawton's going to be with us coming up in about 5 minutes of the NHL Network. Kelly Chase in an hour. I'm really looking forward to hearing from Chase. I really enjoyed hearing the enthusiasm daily from Chase and other former Blues. You know, they were all in and so excited about it. And I like I said, I didn't hear the radio broadcast last night. Of course, I was watching on television, but
And Chase is brutally honest.
That's one of the – he's able to walk the line of being critical but not – and part of that, of course, he played. He's beloved in the city, so he can – you know, him and Kerber just have a great thing going. And
I'll be curious to hear what he has to say about now that it's the series is over, what he thought of their play, you know?
Yeah. Somebody posted last night that if you're listening to the radio broadcast, you can just hear how – either disappointed or disgusted, and I realize there's a difference between the two words, so I'll go with disappointed just to be safe. He was in the play based on the way he was communicating. It wasn't what he expected. He texted me last night, like at 7:45 St. Louis time, from the bench to let me know that they were staying in San Jose overnight, and so he wanted to see if he could push back his appearance to the 9 o'clock hour. And I said, yeah. And I said, hey, while I got you, give me an inside word prediction on this evening's festivities. And he said, us, 3-1. I'm like, sweet. Yep. So then I backed up the truck and shipped it on the Blues. I didn't do that. What about the rights holder parlay?
Well, it was looking good there for a second when the Cardinals climbed back in it.
Yep.
It certainly wasn't looking good in the second inning when it was, what, 6-1?
Right.
But at least you got a sweat.
You got a sweat out of
the first half
of the rights holder parlay
with the Cardinals being in that game.
Yeah, the cat went full rights holder yesterday, Jennings.
Jenny.
And he walked over here, dropped $40 right in my little spot here at the table and said, put it on the rights holder parlay of the Cardinals will beat Jake Arrieta and the Blues will win in San Jose. And I think it would have paid like $200 or $225 on that $40.
Here's what I would have done if I were you. I would have not made that bet.
Booked it.
I would have banked on the fact that he's going to lose. And I would have just said, all right, if they win, I'll eat the 200, but the better chance is I'm going to keep the 40.
That's a good point, Charlie. I should have thought. I should have gone to that meta level. Yeah, Stephen Wildwood texted me and had me throw 100 in on the bet for him.
Yeah, in that case, you start booking it. Yeah,
I did not. Now, the mistake I made is I saw that the Cardinals were rallying in the eighth inning, and I'm of the opinion, and maybe it's a misguided one, that the Cubs back end of the bullpen there is high risk with Strope and Rondon. And so I saw a runner on first, and I'm like, Cardinals are going to win this game. And so I then made a live wager on the Cardinals. So
thank God Jay Senior can't get the live wager. That would be the end of it.
So I lost there, and then I bet the Sharks for emotional risk management. But still, it was not a profitable day because I was on the Cardinals there and didn't bet as much on the emotional risk management because yet it was the Sharks were minus 160 and the Blues never got ahead, so the number only got worse and worse and worse and worse, so it just wasn't even worth it. Plus, I was floating the bets of listeners and co-hosts. That's wonderful.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, that's what it got. Yeah, the cat just got up, walked over, dropped 40, and said, I'm going full rights holder.
Nice.
And, of course, we go 0-2. It seems like any time we have these days or weekends in St. Louis sports where you have three really important games, it doesn't go well. I think we've had one or two where it has gone really well, but for the most part, it becomes just one big cluster. So, you know, I mean, from a sports perspective now, unfortunately,
it's all NBA.
It's, you know, around here, and I mean, I would love to see the Cardinals somehow, you know, get something going. I just don't expect
it. It's going to be just kind of a ho-hum summer.
Right. I think that's what it's going to be. Sure as hell hope it's not. I am certainly not bullish on Missouri football. And I guess that means I just cheer for the Seahawks and 49ers and Cardinals and Packers and Vikings and Saints and Buccaneers and Panthers and...
What's our soccer team now? The FC?
St. Louis FC.
St. Louis FC.
They have a strong club.
And the Surge.
But fortunately, this show thrives on hashtag PP Talk. So
we kind of
go back to our bailiwick.
Some of the best shows will be coming
show,
up.
The show will improve.
The show will actually improve. I don't know, but let's see what we got here. We got Kelly Chase coming up in the next hour right now. Brian Lawton is with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Brian Lawton, our guest. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, you know, as you can imagine, it's a little rough around here. Fans were really hopeful that we'd see a Game 7 and the Blues get to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time since 1970. But barring a big change at the first intermission, it was pretty clear that the Sharks had it last night and the Blues just didn't. And San Jose just continued what was the theme of that series, which was, for the most part, they outplayed the Blues, really minus Game 4. What was your takeaway, Brian?
Yeah, I definitely saw it that way. I was hoping for more from the Blues in such a big game. You know, I thought if they could get it back to Game 7, then they certainly were 50-50 at worst-case scenario and really would have been the favorites for me, but they just did not have the energy level you would have hoped.
And, Brian, why do you think the series ended up being a lot more lopsided than many people expected? You know, going into the conference finals, the Blues were the favorite. They had played so well, beating the Hawks, a team that's won three cups and the team that won the division in the Stars. Do you think we just, maybe in St. Louis we overlooked the Sharks? They're on the West Coast. We don't see them a lot. But the series didn't even seem as close as the six games that it lasted.
Yeah, I think a lot of people overlook the Sharks. You know, this was the first year in their history that they really weren't talked about as a legitimate favorite. So they kind of flew under the radar. You know, they had a good season. Anytime you make the playoffs in this league, it's a good season. They had 98 points, but they certainly have had much better seasons and much more, I guess we could say, dangerous-looking teams in the regular season. But I was pretty high on this team from the start of the postseason because of some of the things I'm saying, because people weren't necessarily heaping tons of pressure on them, because they brought in a new coach in Peter DeBoer after having a really good coaching staff with Todd McClellan that just brought a little different twist. You know, he's much looser coach, so to speak, than Todd is in his staff. Todd and his staff are, I don't want to say militant, but they're not a stick out of place group. And in a lot of ways, having a looser coach come in with such a veteran team ended up being a huge benefit for this Sharks group. So overall, I just think they were overlooked more than they should have been.
Brian Lawton of the NHL Network, our guest here. He is presented by Gateway Sports Emporium on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Gateway Sports Emporium, a great Blues bar down on the Landing. Ken Hitchcock said following the game, Brian, and I thought this was really an intriguing comment because we were wondering it as we were watching the Blues play. They just didn't look like the same team we saw against the Blackhawks and the Stars. That there were a lot of guys who had logged a lot of minutes, and if he had to look back on something, it was that the Blues didn't close out the Blackhawks when they had an opportunity, and they didn't close out the Stars when they had an opportunity, and therefore they were perhaps a little more winded overall than the Sharks were, who were able to close out the Kings in five in the first round. Do you think that that played a role in what we saw in this Western Conference Final?
You know what? They played two more games. They played 102 games total. The Sharks have played 100 games. For me, I wouldn't point so much to the playoffs, even though they are exhausting, and even though seven game series are exhausting. The Sharks also played one, and even beating the LA Kings in five games, although it may have looked easy, it's no easy feat. But for me, I would go more to the regular season. You know, I've always said one thing about the Blues is that, and they've had so many great regular seasons, is that they play a playoff-style game all year long. And if you go around the National Hockey League, there's not a lot of teams that are willing to play the way that they do, as heavy a game that they do, as consistently as they do. And I think in some ways that wears on your team more so than just the playoffs. I think it's the totality of the regular season. And yes, we can add the playoffs in, but it's that regular season to me and the way that the Blues play that is much, much harder on that group than probably at least 60-70% of the other teams in the league.
Tarasenko didn't show up in this series until the final few minutes, and that's something that's odd, especially when Ken Hitchcock went out of his way on Monday to say, and then Tuesday, to say that he is 100% healthy. Just couldn't figure it out because he certainly was a huge factor in the series against the Blackhawks. When you watch Tarasenko play, why do you think he was so much of a non-factor in the series against the Sharks, Brian?
You know, for me, I think it's more about what the Sharks did. And if you look at some of the other leading goal scorers that they shut down in the previous two series, you know, that says a lot about why Tarasenko didn't get the job done. I also think you have to look at him as 24. You have to look at him as having a child. You have to look at him as, although he's had, you know, really amazing success, if you look at it overall from the number of goals he scored in the number of playoff games, he's still young in this league. He's still young in his playoff career. But I really, truly believe that the Sharks' D is just much deeper than they get credit for. You know, Doug Wilson did a great job in picking up a Paul Martin and even adding Roman Pollock. You know, at times people have been down on Roman Pollock, but when you get him into that third pair, it seems to fit him pretty nicely, particularly with the depth that different teams have now. And it was a great fit for him. And Paul Martin, of course, was a great fit for Brent Burns. So I think it was the totality of their D more than the lack thereof than anything Tarasenko did. Because when I look at the rest of the Blues, I mean, Stastny had the most points in the series with 4. That's, you know, when you look at the Sharks and Pavelski's got 9 and, I mean, excuse me, Couture's got 9. Kowalski's got 7. Thornton's got 7. You know, that's and your top guy's got 4. It's going to be a long series for you.
Brian, you talked about the change with Pete DeBoer. I'm curious what your feeling is on the Blues. There were a lot of people that thought if we lost to the Blackhawks, the Blues would maybe make a decision that Ken Hitchcock might not return. Now they win 2 series, go further than he has. Now you get a sense maybe it's Ken Hitchcock's decision. What do you think about the coaching situation here?
You know, I think Ken is a tremendous coach. I think he's done a great job. I think he's got the record to back it up in the regular season. Hasn't happened nearly as much in the postseason as we might have thought with the quality of teams they've had. But this year, even though it feels like a disastrous loss right now, it really wasn't. It was a great year for the Blues. Probably Ken's, I don't know if it was his best year ever in the league, but I think it was one of them. I really do. And they just dealt with a lot of adversity, and he kept things going. And that's an easy evaluation, in my opinion. The more difficult evaluation is where do you go from here? And the San Jose Sharks just went through this last year with their coaching staff, and they'd had a lot of success in the regular season, but not a lot in the postseason. They finally make a change. The group gets a new voice, a little different mentality. Still play basically the same hockey, just with a little looser feel, and here they are in the Stanley Cup Finals. That's going to be the toughest decision that needs to be made, and that's going to come down, I think, to discussions between Doug Armstrong and Ken Hitchcock to see if they can find common ground, if they agree on what needs to happen going forward. And if they do, I think Ken will be back. If they don't, I don't think he will.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, Brian, I think anybody here in St. Louis, not anybody, I guess there's always going to be critics, and that's understandable, but would acknowledge that what the Blues dealt with injury-wise and then also the accomplishments of getting past the Blackhawks and the Stars, that Ken Hitchcock certainly has had a hell of a year as the head coach of the Blues. But you do take a look, and it's not just in the NHL. Sometimes you have these teams around sports where they clearly have quality teams, some great regular seasons, but for whatever reason, with that head coach in place, they're not able to get over the hump in the postseason, and then somebody new comes in, DeBoer being an example in the NHL, Tony Dungy, John Gruden in Tampa Bay stands out to me in the NFL, and I'm sure there are others, that was able to get them over the hump, and whether that's a coincidence or not, we've seen it happen. So when you talk about this conversation that Doug Armstrong and Ken Hitchcock has to have to get on the same page, what do you think they need to discuss to get on the same page regarding?
I think they need to discuss what was lacking and what they need to get over the next hump, to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. I think that's the biggest thing. Do they share the same vision mm-hmm. of where the team is going? Team's not there yet. It's going to be a difficult time, I think, for the St. Louis Blues right now because they have to make some big decisions on players. Obviously, David Backes. I don't think Kevin Shattenkirk necessarily gets used to the degree that some others in the league think he should be. I don't know if that's a philosophical coaching change or what. He's a guy that I would question whether or not he'll be back. He's up for a new contract after next season. His money that he'll be able to garner, certainly on the UFA market, is going to outpace what appears to be the value that the club places on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to be cryptic here. I need to think of a better way to say that he'll command more money, and I'm not sure they'll be willing to pay him back.
Right.
I guess that's the easiest way to
sure.
say it.
No, absolutely. So, and he didn't have the greatest postseason. I'm curious what you think will happen with David Backes. That's one of the biggest decisions the Blues will have, if there is a decision to be made at all.
I think there absolutely is a decision to be made. If you'd asked me before the playoffs started and things had gone as they had in the past with the Blues, you know, going through a long stretch here where they consistently lost the lower-seeded teams, you know, early in the playoffs, then I would have said he absolutely would not have been back. But after the playoff that he had, I think it's absolutely a possibility now, a much higher percentage now, that he will be back. David personally conquered a lot of his demons, and I don't say that lightly because it's not like David Backes isn't all in 110%. Just for whatever reason, you know, when you're the captain of a team and they don't get over the hump, it weighs heavier on you. David, you know, obviously had success with the group this year in the playoffs, but he also had much more personal success than he's ever had in the playoffs, and that was fantastic to see. And I know David is a quality person. I know how much it meant to him, and I'm sure it was really rewarding to him, even though they didn't make it to the finals, even though he feels terrible today. When he looks back, I think he'll at least know he took a huge step forward at this stage in his career in doing something he hadn't been able to do previously.
And, Brian, do you think when you look at Backes and maybe versus Troy Brouwer, can you bring both those guys back? Are they similar in a player that you would want just one of them back? And I mean, you want both of them back, but in a salary cap league, it's tough to do that. Brouwer's a couple of years younger. How much do you think they influence each other in who could return between Brouwer and Backes?
I think they both influence each other, and that comes back with the overall plan. When you look around the history of the league, guys like Troy Brouwer tend to get undervalued, so to speak, by their teams, and they move on. And I give as a case in point Joel Ward, right? The Washington Capitals didn't feel comfortable to go three more years at 3.2. Obviously, he looks pretty darn good right now for the San Jose Sharks. I look at Justin Williams, you know, the Los Angeles Kings won a couple cups with him, clutch performer. And they didn't feel comfortable enough to go three more years for Justin in the twos. And Troy Brouwer, to me, is a guy that could fall into that trap. And that'll be a very, very interesting one to see what happens. And Troy may even get a little bit of a bump off of what some of those other guys have done. But traditionally, the wingers that are guys like Troy, who's such a heart and soul, tremendous team guy, not necessarily your biggest scorer in the regular season, but these guys make you win, and it doesn't always show up in their stats, and that's why I think a lot of people miss it. I'll be very curious. I would love to be a fly on the wall to listen to those conversations that Doug Armstrong, Dave Taylor, and the rest of the staff have, because I think Troy Brouwer is an incredibly valuable player.
Brian Lawton of the NHL Network, former Lightning GM, and he played on that inaugural Sharks team in 91-92. Now with the NHL Network, our guest here, presented by Gateway Sports Emporium. Brian, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us throughout the course of the postseason. And enjoy the Game 7 this evening with the Lightning, and then also, of course, the Stanley Cup Finals with the Sharks in the winner of tonight's festivities in Pittsburgh. We really appreciate your time throughout the last few weeks.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry to not be coming to St. Louis for the finals. I'm traveling in the finals with NHL Network, and I was really looking forward to the opportunity to hopefully be there, but maybe next season.
Yeah, maybe next year. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Take it easy. It would have been crazy. Tomorrow night, if they would have had a Game 7 there, woo, cats and dogs. Mm. Cats and dogs. The tribbing. You might not have been able to get in the building.
I don't think you would have been able to get in the building unless you knew somebody.
Right. Just because of that.
Like Holly or somebody.
Right. Buy Backus. You can't pay your third center $5 million a year. That's a way to put your team in trouble. That comes from the troll. Guys, any insight on the Pollock-Yashkin situation? What did Yashkin do? That's from KP. They did have a long exchange during the handshake, and it appeared to be a polite explanation / apology going on when they shook hands. Maybe Chase will have some insight to that. Kelly Chase will be with us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
As it should have been. I think Roman Pollock, and known here for being a real tough guy in the whole Roman Pollock door thing, but I think that was certainly a bad look for him nationally, too. I saw a lot of people basically saying doesn't take much courage to do what Roman Pollock did and basically punching a smaller player from behind, a guy who clearly did not want to be in that fight.
No. It was bad.
I wonder what was going on there. Maybe Chase has some insight. We'll look forward to talking to him in the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Send in your emails, themorningafter@insidestl.com, themorningafter@insidestl.com. We're giving away a gift certificate to Dirty Dogs as the prize for our email of the day, themorningafter@insidestl.com. Steven Wildwood with five wins. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, with four. And then you have Misty Plops with three. And Misty Plops just sent a tweet out. I don't know if you saw it, Jennings, in which Misty Plops has changed his or her logo for the remainder of the month of May to try and inspire the heat he or she is going to bring. It is
look at the Plops.
It's a Miami Heat logo, but has changed the name of the Heat to Misty Plops. I'm sure there was a major, major fee paid to the Miami Heat.
You'd have to think.
In order to get the rights to that logo, but that's an illustration of the kind of heat you can expect.
How many is he behind?
Misty Plops, two. So Misty Plops can still win it in regulation, but Misty Plops has to win.
Got to step it up.
Every
the magic
one
number.
Of the way. So Steven Wildwood can clinch a tie with a win today. Okay, he would eliminate everybody but Matt, who bowls at Hanks. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, is very, very bullish about the way he's playing. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, is like the Sharks. Okay. We didn't think he was going to be in the mix at the start of May, but now you're looking and you're going, I don't know who's playing better than Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
Here's what I don't like, though. I don't like knowing the standings because in my, I guess, subconscious, you kind of want to make it.
Does it affect your
vote? A tie at the end.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't affect my vote. I could take it. I could take it anyway. But, yesterday I'm sitting around Normandy and, I mean, guys are just talking about the email of the day.
Absolutely.
Contest.
Of course they are.
Great.
Of course they are. How are things out at Normandy?
They are good.
Have they recovered from the golf tournament Timberfake driving the cart up on the green?
Yes. Everything is going well, and there's still a lot of I walked out yesterday. Somebody had brought the carts out, and two carts were lined up next to each other that both had the Free Dotem bumper sticker on the back of the cart.
Nice.
So people, it's like a lottery. If you get the cart that says Free Dotem on it, it almost ensures a good round for that day.
I loved that day. I absolutely loved that day. And now I'm coming out of retirement in the game of golf.
Yes.
I asked you for some knowledge on getting clubs. And
I'm glad
also,
to hear it. You had the bug for a while.
I had it, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I have this blister on my thumb from just hitting balls on Saturday.
Could
it means I hold the I hold the club either too tight or wrong. I don't know. Then I was texting or emailing with your compadre, Skip Berkmeyer.
Yes.
And he was giving me some recommendations as well, so I'm looking forward to getting back on the golf course. But what a great day that was. The money that was raised.
Three little birds.
Three little birds for life. And just the weather and the quality of the people, the listeners, everybody hanging out. That was a good time. So we'll look forward to doing it again, Jennings.
No question.
We'll look forward to doing it again. And you got a chance to meet caller Jordan.
And I must tell you, just really taken aback by her. I told Charlie at the first break, I said, you meet that Jordan girl? He said, yes. I mean, she's really neat.
You treated her differently than you've treated, say, Seika, for example.
It was with more kid gloves. There's no question about it. And I told the Sea Monster, you know, I mean, the foot thing is a little bit of a gag and a gig, but her feet were phenomenal.
Is that right?
I mean, I would like to chop one off.
And what made
the softness, the way she let me caress them, the bottom of them, they were just perfect. I mean, it really, I mean, you know, it's, again, we've discussed this before. It's for the listener.
Of course it is.
And what I have is a mild affinity towards feet. There are people out there that are really sick, that spend a lot of time on wiki feet, and have a foot fetish. I shouldn't have a problem, but she really took it to another level, and I thought I should treat her as royalty almost.
Yeah, you did, and I noticed that.
She even sent me a Facebook message, hey, thanks for taking it easy on me. And I said, well, wow. Next time I'd like to go a little harder.
And it's not weird at all that you said you'd like to cut one of her feet off.
No, I just to put on the mantle. You know, just a little thing on as you walk out the door, give it a little rub, good luck for the day.
That would be a nice gift, though, if she could take an actual mold of one of her feet.
And give it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't have the same feeling, because that feeling of that foot.
Plow Shark likes it.
He does like it. He's back there.
Plow Shark, you weren't out there that day, though.
Yeah, what the hell happened? I thought you were going to come for lunch. Billy G's was out there.
Yeah, I know. I got done here, decided, hey, I'll probably just go home, eat, change, and then I head up to Billy G's to do my evening shift.
Have a little smoky, and then go to Billy G's.
Right.
Heard.
Yep.
This guy's a worker.
He is. He really is. He was ready to go down to the Scott Trade Center before and after Game 7 to get Man on the Street audio. And he came in yesterday and said that was the plan. And unfortunately, won't be able to get it. But that's the Plow Shark for you.
Commitment to excellence.
Commitment to excellence. You're exactly right. Hey, Tim, come on out to Ruth Park. We would love to have you play the best nine-hole track in the Lou and Brig J. Jr. Comes from the 314.
I love me some Ruth Park.
I do, too. Home of the fivesome.
They're getting ready to probably, about the 1st of July, reopen their driving range. Doug Castellari, their head cheese out there, is a good guy. And fits a real good need in that area. We need more nine-hole golf courses.
I really like that course. That's what I grew up on, though.
Yeah.
Tower T in Ruth Park.
Yep.
That was my place.
I prefer nine holes. I'm not an 18-hole
That's
guy.
Where we're
I'm
going.
Not very good.
No. Time-wise, I think we're going that direction.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I see all the leagues we do. We had a ton of people yesterday. McClure North, I guess yesterday was their last day of school, and we had about 40 of their teachers came out, and they were having a good old time.
Is that right?
They were excited. It was the final day. It's good to see. I like teachers, you know.
You like everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's see. What do we got here? Chase is going to join us at 9, by the way. We're just texting. So Chase is going to be with us in 5 minutes. Sea Monster's ears perk up. Keep the fan page talk on the fan page. If you have nothing to say, don't do radio. That's from William B. Starnes III. Do you know him, Jennings?
I'm not familiar with it. You would think I would with a name like William B. Starnes. I would have seen his locker at Belle Reve or Old Warson or St. Louis Country Club, but I have not seen it.
What was said about the fan page?
I have no idea. Anti-fan
pages because they don't want to get in there.
Or because I've had to block them personally, and this guy's a guy I think his name stands out as somebody I've had. Anytime he pops up, I have to block him from Twitter and Facebook because he's got something going on.
Sure.
And so if they're not on the fan page, they're angry that they're not allowed. I've gotten a lot of, since we've created the new fan page over the last week.
Good move, by the way.
Thank you. A lot of messages privately from people who were blocked asking to come back.
Come back home.
And I'm like, well, you were blocked for a reason. We don't just go, okay, God, Amory, what do you want to do? We're in Vegas for the weekend. You know what I'm going to do?
Going to spend time on who's...
I'm going to block some people. I'm going to block a 45-year-old who tells me how great of a Christian he is, all while MFing me to high heaven.
You go to
God first, but F you! You don't like the Cardinals?
You go down to the pool, Anna Marie. I'm going to work on the fan page.
I got a block of 50-year-old grandfather. Speaking of which, hello, Big Al.
Hey, Timmy, it's either my computer or streaming's down.
Sea Monster, Plow Shark, Brendan Marks.
We'll get on that right now.
Nurse.
I tried. I reset and everything. I'm excited. I'm excited it's the last day. I'm excited it's the last day I had to watch this pathetic effort.
Oh, no.
Because I watched Pittsburgh come back like ravaged dogs against Tampa Bay and give every ounce of energy they had to get to Game 7, and we came out like a bunch of dogs that just ate and are laying in the sunshine with no effort. I'm glad, yeah, we had a great season. Took as far as I've been in a long time, but the last few games of effort we threw out there was pathetic, and I almost said something else. So,
Well, all right, Al, what do you attribute it to? Why did this team look the way it did in Series 1, Series 2, and then play the way they did against the Sharks?
Maybe the guy hit something on the head that we play rough every night, and that's the style we play. I don't know. Who knows, Jay? I got a whole basket full of reasons why we haven't made it. I'll go back to 67, as everyone knows. So I'll just reach in and pick one out. I really don't care. Excuses are for losers. And that effort that we gave the last few games, you can't try harder. Kelly Chase and Curbs was on the air, and you could hear it, because thank God for us that they were on the air, because if we had been in a bar, you could read between the lines of what they're saying and what I say and what I'll say to any of my fans that happen to come in, reward me with a birthday gift, because it is Saturday, so if you see me next week, I'll still take them.
Yep.
But it was just, I watched the Pittsburgh, and I told my wife last night, I said, nah, we ain't got it. It's over. And she's like, are you sure? I go, yeah, we're not going to do it. We don't have the effort. I don't know if it's internal with Hitchcock. I don't know. I know at one point this season, because I am privy to people inside this team, and I know he was on the brink of going. In fact, I was told tonight I was at a game. If he didn't win that game, he was gone, and he won that game. And you can take that one to the bank fan page. If you don't think I'm right, you can suck on my big toe like Jay does.
Now, wait a minute.
But
wow.
I just want to say this. That was a piss-poor effort the last few games. So if you all can look yourself in the mirror and say you gave your 110%, then you better go somewhere and get some counseling, because you're lying. Because I know one thing. If I was a Blues player and I wore the number 8 and I loved my jersey like Barkley Plager did, I wouldn't have given that effort. And it was sickening. And so, yeah, you can rest on your laurels. You took us to the conference finals. But you watch those last few games, boys, and you tell me you gave 110%. And I'll call you a liar.
Big Al, I have to follow up on something.
It's too
here.
Late. He's gone.
Did he go?
Yeah, he's gone.
I think we share a birthday. Did he say his birthday is this Saturday?
I don't think today's the day to discuss it with him.
But
sounds
said,
like he's out of sorts.
He said he wants a gift, though. In the middle of his hot take on the Blues, he also said, I will accept a birthday gift.
I think he said it's from his fans
right,
is what he said.
Yeah. Charlie, you have fans, though, too.
I don't really.
White collar gangster.
Yeah.
White rascal, white collar gangster.
That's true.
Kelly Chase
guy.
Going to join us at the top of the Tees Farms, 9 o'clock hour, live from San Jose. I am looking forward to this. I would recommend sticking around for it. It's coming up next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.